short reading, The Warbler by Jim Harrison. This year we have two gorgeous yellow warblers nesting in the honeysuckle bush. The other day I stuck my head in the bush. The nestlings weighed 1/20th of an ounce, about the size of a honeybee. We stared at each other, startled by our existence. In a month or so, they will reach the size of bumblebees. They'll fly to Costa Rica without a map.
When I was preparing for this service, I selected that reading, the warbler that Troy just shared with you. I know it's the wrong season. Birds aren't nesting at the moment. But I love that poem so much, and I wanted to introduce the sermon with it, even though it doesn't seem to relate to the topic of being of courage very well. I found it in a collection of writings about being wrong. And for me, the message is that we can be startled by our own existence in this amazing world. Confronted by a tiny, newly hatched warbler chick that will in a month or so navigate to Costa Rica without a map. That's the ultimate lesson in humility. That warbler chick knows stuff that I can never know. Does that give you a sense of humility? That's the beginning of the courage to be wrong. The sermon title, The Courage to be Wrong, can be taken two ways. One way is that we need courage to stand up for our convictions, even when we know that we may be wrong, that our knowledge is always incomplete, and that we have to make decisions based on limited data. We need that kind of courage in some circumstances, true enough. But that's not what I wanted to address primarily this morning. The second way to look at that topic, the courage to be wrong, is to have the courage to admit that we may be wrong and the other person may be right. This is the basis for humility, the basis for real listening and communication, the basis for a true loving relationship with the other. I listened, and getting material for the service, to a TED Talk by Catherine Schultz on the subject of being wrong. And I give her full credit for directing me to the Wile E. Coyote cartoons. As a result, I got to review dozens of old Roadrunner cartoons on YouTube as part of my research. I learned that Wile E. Coyote made his first appearance in 1949. That was the year I was born. And for all of my life, I've been pronouncing his name wrong. It's not Wile E. Coyote, it's Wile E. Coyote. And the E stands for Ethelbert, as I explained in the children's story. The important message of this sermon is contained in that image of the coyote, blissfully oblivious to the fact that he has just run off a cliff. It's the picture on the front of your order of service. We all know on an intellectual level that we can be wrong, that we make mistakes, that things don't always work out the way they expected that they would. And yet, we're trapped in a bubble of the present. And in the present, I don't think any of us can identify something that we are wrong about. We can identify things that we were wrong about in the past, and things that may prove to be wrong in the future, but nothing that we're wrong about in the present moment, given the present circumstances. Catherine Schultz says that we have this blind spot, this powerful need to feel that we are right, because we learned from an early age that being wrong meant that there was something wrong with us. Being wrong in school was a sign of stupidity or laziness or both. There were right answers to all the questions, and if you didn't know them, you were wrong. Not your answers were wrong, you were wrong. And so we cling to the belief that we are right, that our version of reality is the correct version, and that the other versions are wrong. The equivalent of Wile E. Coyote looking down and realizing that he's not on solid ground is listening to the other with willingness to have your version of reality challenged, to allow space for the other to change your opinion. An increasingly rare occurrence. Again, Catherine Schultz says, our reaction when we meet someone who disagrees with our interpretation of reality is first to assume that they don't have all the facts. We feel compelled to tell the poor fellow the truth. The fact is, the facts that they are missing. And when we find out that they were aware of those asserted facts, and they still cling to their view of reality, we move on to our second reaction. The other person is just dumb. They have all the pieces they need, and they just can't put them together to see the obvious right answer. And then if we're forced to admit that the other is just as intelligent as we are, then we move to a third explanation. They know the truth, but they're distorting it for their own malevolent purposes. They're just selfish and irresponsible. The root of the problem is a perceived attack on our person. If the other's view of reality is right, then my view is wrong. Not only is my view wrong, but I'm wrong. What's all this got to do with church and congregational life and Sunday sermons? Let me see if I can tie this together as I come to the end of this sermon. First, on a mundane congregational level, I think we're a pretty civil group. We manage to navigate the inevitable rough waters when we have different opinions on things as mundane as budgeting or building maintenance or repairing roof leaks or choosing the color for the sanctuary. This ability to navigate such potential problems is based on flexibility and humility, the courage to admit that we may be wrong. And so we endeavor to listen carefully to one another. This characteristic is supported by our faith tradition. Unitarian Universalism offers us a different perspective that should help us to find the courage to be wrong. In the history of humanity, there is no other abstract concept that has divided people more bitterly than the ideas of religious belief. Humanity has studied the universe and come to some definite but diametrically opposed ideas about the meaning of all of this. And then they split into smaller and smaller splinter groups of people who felt that they had the right answer. Thankfully, along comes Unitarian Universalism, a faith that acknowledges that we are all on different paths, and that what is right for me may not be right for you. That what you choose to give ultimate meaning to in your life is your business. That there's room for mystery and for saying, I just don't know. In our congregation, we cover a broad spectrum of religious and spiritual beliefs, and we have no need to seek agreement to decide who is right. For this, the ultimate understanding of reality will always be beyond human ability to conceptualize. The ultimate understanding of reality will always be beyond human ability to conceptualize. And if that's the case, then we're all wrong. And we should all have the courage to admit that possibility. May it be so. Amen.